Not only does the Lord, I've learned from experience, share what I'm to minister, but also I've learned he teaches me how to minister, what he's given me to minister. I mean, that there's all kinds of styles in delivering God's word. You have to learn to be yourself, but even in yourself, you have different ways you can deliver it. So he told me to be calm. And that's a good one for me, to be calm. How am I going to be calm when I can't even find Hosea? Let's see. There we go. Hosea chapter 6. And verse 3. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, please? We'll begin at verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. My text. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Lord Jesus, we do thank you. I do pray that you help me to bring forth what you have given unto me. Help me, Lord, to be clear, and help the hearts to receive it. And may it be a word that helps us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get to my text on then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, in our walk with God, and I trust you have a walk with the Lord, in order for that walk to come about, you first believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, thou shalt be saved. First comes the believing. After the believing comes the knowing. In Ephesians, Paul is writing to believers, of those who have already accepted Christ as the Messiah. And in verse 17, Paul writes that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul knows they're already believers, but he says that may the Holy Spirit give you a revelation in the knowledge of him. And may we recognize in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now back in verse 13 of Ephesians, he acknowledges to us a past tense thing that has happened in our lives that have come to believe in the Lord. He says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed. I want you to recognize this morning, there is a difference between believing and knowing the Lord. Not all that believe in God know him equally. Some believers know him greater than other believers. Now all can come and believe. But after you have believed, how much have you come to know him who you have put your trust and faith in and believe in? When you read in the scriptures, you can't help but notice that some knew God intimately better than others. Moses went higher up the mountain and had a greater depth, the Bible says, and even the Lord himself made it distinguish that Moses, I talked face to face to. He did talk, and the Lord expressed he talked to others, but Moses, he expressed he knew him greater, or Moses knew him greater. And knowing speaks of intimacy. And let me say concerning the word believe, I am not including when I say believing the wrong kind of believing. I've preached in the past on there are those that believe, but their believing doesn't affect their life, and therefore practice what you believe. Please know from the beginning that I am not referring to the wrong kind of believing. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. So I'm not referring to that kind of believing. I'm referring to the right kind of believing that does produce fruits in our life. But having said that, after we believe, then how have you proceeded to know the Lord? Again, we have not just Moses as someone the Lord declared knew him greater, but even when you come to the New Testament, you can't help but read the Gospels and begin to grasp that some knew their Lord better than others. You have the 70 disciples, and then I think as you close in, you have the 12 that probably knew him a little better. And then within the 12, you have the 3, Peter, James, and John. And then within the 3, you have John, who they went to tap the Lord for information, probably because they thought John had a closer touch. Whether that be true or not, we do find he is one that laid his head on his Savior's breast. Jesus himself said, "Come unto me," or "come and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You will never learn anything more beneficial in your life than learning about Jesus and knowing him intimately. Now, there is no doubt much to be learned in life. All of life, we are learning and we are processing things. There is the learning of the knowledge that the Bible says in Daniel that in the last days that knowledge would increase. We have seen this so, and we're learning that kind of knowledge. That not necessarily is spiritual knowledge, it's just knowledge in a practical sense. And then we learn about life. That's a different kind of learning. Proverbs is full of the wisdom that Solomon had that he received from the Lord. And then there is the learning that we all go through in life where Paul said, "I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in." I'm still learning to do that. But then the highest goal, the thing that you ought to pursue more than anything else in your seeking to learn, it should be to learn about Jesus and to come to know him and to have a intimate knowledge of knowing God. In St. John chapter 8, verse 19, Jesus, and we're going to get to our text in just a moment, but I want to lay down a foundation. Jesus is speaking to Pharisees, and he said this to the people in his day, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Now, why should we strive after we come to believe in the Lord, why should we strive to know the Lord? Because there are great rewards in the closer and the more you get to know God intimately. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, that great exploits would they do that know God. And out of all the things that Jesus knew, and Jesus knew a lot, in this pulpit recently, we have heard on different occasions the many things that Jesus knew. I love the message that Brother Skip Kincaid brought out where he knew Nathanael and he knew him as a little child underneath a tree. What a great insight in Scripture. We know that the scripture says at the end of John chapter 2, St. John, it says that the Lord knew man, and he needed not that any testify, or nobody needed to go to Jesus and say, let me tell you about, I was going to say Joe Blow, but I can't use Joe. Let me tell you about Sam. And because the Lord already knew about Sam, he knew Peter's failure that would come. He knew Nathanael's past, and he knew Peter's future. Jesus knew the coming destruction of Jerusalem, and he knew many things. But the thing that the Lord Jesus treasured that he knew more than anything else was he knew his heavenly Father. In St. John 17:25, we find these words, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know thee, but I have known thee. In St. John 17:3, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And the inside of scriptures is clear when you dig it out on how to get to know the Lord in an intimate way, and I'll deal with that at the end of the message. But knowing the Father, Jesus thought, was the most important thing that he ever knew. And I would say the most important thing you and I can ever know since we've come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is now to know him. Now, let's go to our text in the beginning, because this truth is not a truth that just formed when Jesus came. This is a truth that even in the Old Testament that the prophet brought out, and the Lord is speaking and says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. This is such a blessed promise for us, his people. And may all of us be encouraged to follow on in our walk with God, as Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishermen of men. And may we be encouraged as we follow on, because throughout Scripture we're told to press towards the mark of the high calling. Let us run the race with patience. But here, may we be encouraged to follow on in our walk with God. But let us understand this promise. We are promised to know some things if we follow on to know the Lord. There's two knowings he's talking about. Now, many people follow the Lord, but notice we are instructed to follow on with the purpose. That word purpose was brought up in mind, to know the Lord. There is a religion, or there is a set of ideas that consist only in the knowledge of outward rites and ceremonies, or they have the knowledge of orthodoxies, or they have the knowledge of doctrinal distinctions, the knowledge of religious language. That, and in itself, is vain if it doesn't have with it knowing the Lord. And you can know doctrines, you can know the big horn of Daniel, you can know the little horn, you can know this and you can know that, but if it doesn't connect you to know the Lord, then it is vain. There must be an intimate knowledge of God. And let me say this concerning knowing the Lord. If you really know the Lord, you will think very little of yourself. There will be a humility. The person who does not know the Lord, and I speak of the world in general, thinks that man is a noble being. In the Bible, over and over, he shows us that he who has seen God thinks man to be but dust and ashes. It brings about a humility. Often that was the case in the Bible when men came in contact with God. Oh, they just fell, and the Lord didn't want them to live in that fear and have them rise up, but that was the first natural response that we have. The man who does not know God's holiness thinks himself to be a rather good creature. But when he sees this thrice holy God, he says, I abhor myself. And he who knows not God thinks man to be a wonderful being, able to accomplish whatever he wills. Once you come to know God, you find that is not true. Often on these dumb reality shows where there is no reality, you will find the person interviewed who is just one, and they will say, "Oh, let me tell everyone out there, you can do it, you can do it. All you got to do is keep your dreams," and on and on. And I'm thinking, what about all those that lost? They didn't win. And so that is a humanism point of view. It is true, we can do nothing of ourselves. And do you know God? And so the question is, do you know God? In the sight of God, and when you come to know God, you realize that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And we recognize that man is made in his image, but man can do nothing in and by himself, and he is but vanity without the Lord coming into the scene. So the question we come to today is, do you know God? I'm not asking if you believe in God. We've already established you do. But I want us to now go into an intimate relationship with this one in whom we have come to believe on as our Savior. Do you know God? Number one, do you know him in the majesty of his justice as condemning your sin and you for sin? Number two, do you know God in the splendor of his love, giving Jesus Christ for sinners? He is blending that love with his justice. We find the love of God the Father gave Jesus, but the justice of God the Father slew Jesus for our sake. Do you know God in the fullness of his power to save? Do you know God in the fullness of him to be able to renew the heart, of changing the mind, of not overriding the will, but subduing the will and drawing the will that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure? I have noticed God has made changes in my life, but when it's all said and done, I give him the glory. I realize it was him that has brought that about in me. Do you know him even in these areas? Yet comparatively, this is a slender branch of knowledge in comparison to all the things that I can know when it comes to knowing him. Because as you begin to know the Lord, you will also begin to know yourself. For one does not know himself who does not know something of God. You cannot know yourself if you do not know God. And God knows you better than you know yourself. To know the Father as my Father, who the Scripture says has kissed me and he has put his best robe upon me. Do you know that I am royalty and you are royalty because we have had the robe that he put upon the prodigal son and it is upon us? My righteousness is not my own. It is a righteousness that I have received that has been imputed because of my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I bow to you today, for you are royalty. I'm not going to ask you to stand and bow. Let another man praise thee and not thy own lips. But yes, we must know our own righteousness is one that comes from him. Do you know the Son is my brother, in whose garments I am accepted and I stand comely in the sight of God? Do you know the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who is the quickener and the divine indweller and the illuminator, and it is by him in whom I live and I have my being, and it is by that light alone I see, and without that illuminating light I do not see? Do I know the Lord? And this I say again, any religion or set of ideas, whatever it is, churchianity or nonconformity or whatever doctrine it may be, if it does not lead you to know God intimately, it is vain. The knowledge of God is the basis of all saving experience. The Scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Job said in 22:21, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace." There is nothing that will bring peace to you quite like the knowledge of God. Not only does this passage where it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Not only does this passage instruct us to know the Lord, but we are instructed to advance in that knowledge. In order to know Him better, we must shut out of our mind all ideas that we already fully know the Lord. For the text says, then shall we know when we follow on to know the Lord. Now, a man will never follow on to know the Lord if he thinks within himself and he judges himself that he has already reached the end. If any person comes to the conclusion, I know the Lord, I know all about Him, I know all that is knowable, that man will not follow on because he thinks he has reached his end. And therefore, I am afraid that he will really never know the Lord at all. I heard a man that said, and it troubled me some time ago, that he said, I can't sing that chorus. And the chorus was, near my God to thee. Because he was already as near to God as it was possible. I thought, my friend, I don't know if you've even begun the race yet. Let me just say, for me as pastor, and I speak from my own life, I do know the Lord. I have been favored with His presence. I have enjoyed a very clear sense of my acceptance in the Beloved. I have had visions. I have had, over the years, countless hundreds of words of knowledge that I never would have known by myself. I have studied the Word. I have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have spoken in tongues. I have spoken in a heavenly language, secret things that belong unto God. And as Jude said, I have prayed in the Holy Ghost, building up my most holy faith. And out of all the years, I have had many unusual experiences myself in my walk with God. But for me to suppose that I know all that is to be known, or that I possess in myself all of the holiness that a creature can attain this side of the grave, is as far from me as the east is from the west. I don't know squat in what I can know in serving the Lord. I find much of my time, and this has been more true to me in the last few years than ever, I find in me a longing and a yearning to know Him more. I do not know the Lord as I hope to know Him, but I have the desire, and I take the desire that He encourages me to have, that I must follow on to know the Lord. Your smile uplifted me, Sister Watson. Again, the Apostle Paul said, when you read the book of Philippians, a book that Paul wrote 20 years after his experience on the road to Damascus, and we read these words, they're quite surprising. Paul says, oh, that I might know Him. That is amazing, because Paul has enjoyed 20 years of a marvelous walk with God. He has had revelations. He's gone to the third heaven. He's had so many experiences. To my understanding, he's had at least 3 visitations of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in his life. Paul has been used by the Holy Spirit to write much of the New Testament and the epistles. Much of what we know came from Paul, who received it from the Lord. Paul had experiences that that we all would covet to have. And yet Paul writes these words, oh, that I might know Him. What? Paul? Do you not know Him? And Paul would say, oh, yes, I do. I know Him sweetly. I know Him blessedly. And oh, but I want to know Him more. He is such a deep love. He is such a mountain of mercy. And Paul is describing, as I dive deeper into the bowels of His mercy, it is oceans and oceans, and I've never yet reached the bottom. When it comes to climbing the mountain tops, they keep getting higher and higher and higher. And Paul is aware that there is so much more to know of God. Now, may the Lord remove from us self-contentment, which is the end of progress when it comes to knowing the Lord. I remember as a child, is 14 considered a child? I was in between. And visiting Carlsbad Caverns, I heard then that there are still cavities they have not yet discovered. They still say there are places they haven't discovered. The day will come, if the Lord tarries, they will discover all of them. But we will never discover all there is to know of God. And Paul says, "Oh, that I might know him." And the person who thinks he has arrived and knows God has nothing to me to offer me on this side of heaven. I am interested in the one that can show me, that has the attitude that our text says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Paul writes, not as though he had already attained, either was already made perfect, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark of the high calling. What is that calling? That calling is to know him. And still looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now may we, in our pursuit of knowing God, and I pray that I have stirred your desire to know God, may you in that pursuit not turn to the right nor to the left, but may you keep your eyes on him and him only. It has been said that you may learn something of a person by reading his books, or you may get a better idea of him by hearing him speak. But if you want to know him best, you must live with him. And even so, you may not know much of God's from his word, and much from the speech of his servants. But if you want to know him, you must abide with him continually. You must let it be your utmost desire to know him. And this is not a put down on the word. I love this word. But when it comes to prayer, "Oh Lord, I want to know thee, and I long for thee." But notice back in our text, it says, "He shall come unto us as the rain." I want us to realize that from our text, we learn that it is our business. If I am to know the Lord, it is our business to be receptive. If we are to know the Lord, we must follow on to know the Lord by being willing to learn, to have a teachable spirit. Except you be converted, that's a believing part, and become as children, that's the teachable part, you won't get anywhere. So may I tell myself and learn from this text that if I am to follow on to know the Lord, that I must be receptive. Because notice the text says that he shall come unto us as the rain. Now we're the earth, we're the soil, he's the rain. And that portion of soil which repels the rain, it is a rock, and which turns it off from its surface. Do you remember the four soils that Jesus spoke about? And then he taught us that those four soils are representative of our hearts. And that is why in the Old Testament it says that we are to break up the fallow ground, and that there must be a continually tearing down of the flesh. That veil, before I go into the Holy of Holies, is a type of my flesh, and I must continually break it down. And may you learn to die daily, and may you learn your flesh, and may you know that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And may we learn that we're in the flesh. May we recognize when we're in the flesh. And may we learn that the flesh will produce adultery, fornication, witchcraft, adultery, and many such things. And the last one it says the flesh produces is heresies. Do you know that the flesh has produced more false doctrine and is the author of more false doctrine than anything else? I'm sure the devil is behind it, but the devil knows the flesh and he will work through the flesh. But it is a great blessing to have a soul capable of receiving divine truth. Now there are some who have heard the gospel so long that they have almost become grace proof. Let me explain. When I was a boy, I remember I was a Boy Scout, and I had a brand new tent. Took that tent out, set it up, and it leaked. And I thought, why is it leaking? And then I remember that my scout master said, just wait a little while. When the threads absorb the rain, it'll swell up, and the water will no longer come through. And it did. I learned something that day. And may I say from that illustration, some certain here seem to be so saturated with the rain of the word that if we're not careful, they become gospel proof. The heavenly moisture does not penetrate them. They hear, but they hear in vain. Oh, may we continually, when we recognize it's not coming through, may I say, oh Lord, it's time for me to break up my fallow ground. It's time for my heart to be torn. And if I don't tear my heart up, sometimes God knows how to come to your heart and to tear it up. If you don't do it, he does it. I'd rather I do it than he does it, because when I do it, it don't hurt as bad as when he does it. But if you will let your heart be broken and open up. And sometimes people say, well, I don't get that when I go to church. Well, you're in the flesh. Learn how to get your flesh to where it is broken up. And then when God's rain and his beautiful things come down, it will minister to you. When Jesus of Nazareth passed by, may your heart cry out. Let him not be one that knocks and knocks and knocks and you do not enter. But when Jesus passed by, may there be an attitude that in your heart that immediately you come and open up the door of your heart like that of Lydia, who the Bible said, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, prejudice will keep God's word from penetrating. I have been on a pursuit for years to understand the words that Jesus spoke in John when he said, I have many things to say to you, that is to the disciples, but you cannot bear them. I have asked ministers. I asked Brother Skip and Sister Delilah when they were here, and we discussed. I'm speaking to you what I believe myself personally. I will put it in the line of speculation. But why speculation? I believe from the word itself. Let's turn to John. I'm talking about learning and growing in the Lord. And Jesus said, and what is amazing to me, when he said that to the disciples, he had already said some pretty heart-wrenching truths. He has already said in St. John 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Here's what they're going to do to you. They're going to kick you out of church, out of the synagogue. And he went on to tell them that they will deny him. And I mean things that are very grievous. But he held back this one. And I have often thought, what could have been worse than what he already said? But in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you. And I have been a pursuit for years. What were those things? Let me share with you what I believe they are. But you cannot bear them. But he said, howbeit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to tell you. So I draw a conclusion that it is something the Spirit would reveal. But Jesus said, I can't tell you, you can't bear it. Same bear, word for bear is Jesus bearing the cross. What was it? I suggest to you we turn to the book of Acts. For you remember that when Peter had a vision, and in that vision there were different animals and they were let down. And do you remember when the Lord said, rise up, Peter, and eat? And Peter said, no. Why did Peter say no? Because it was of the mindset of the Jews and of the disciples that the gospel was only for the Jews. And that it wasn't the Gentiles yet. And in spite of the Lord trying to get that message across, they couldn't handle it at this point. And so finally, when you read the story, the Spirit said, what I have clean, don't you call unclean. And here's what Peter said. I've learned something, Peter said, that God is no respecter of persons. Now, the text says many things. It was not only that God is no respecter of persons, but it was also the truth that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple is rent, there will be no more animal sacrifices. It is no longer required that you be circumcised in order to be saved, which the early church and some of them had a difficulty in understanding and grasping, and other such things concerning the law. And Paul had to write a whole chapter in chapter 14 about eats and minks and holidays and this and this that they were still challenged with. But prejudice, if that be true, and the Jews learn not to be prejudiced. But may I say, prejudice is a two-way street. How many know Gentiles can be prejudiced towards the Jews? How many know that young people can be prejudiced towards old people? And old people versus young people, and blacks versus white, and whites versus green, and green versus purple, and you can be prejudiced on how much education someone has versus how much. There are many, many ways you can be prejudiced, but all prejudice must go. Every prejudice must go. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do for His church, and in order that we might know Him. Now, how can I come to know the Lord? You'll notice it says that the earth must be receptive. And the Bible says, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. First of all, you will know when you follow on to know the Lord. What will you know? You will know more about the past. We must take notice from the text in Hosea and the soil of which this promise is made. Notice the words begin in chapter 6 of Hosea, verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. But then in verse 3, then shall we know. Now these are the Jews that have been going and have been torn and have gone through rough times. And they encourage, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. You see, now you do not perhaps, and it is a principle that was true then, and it is a principle true today. Right now, you may not know and understand the meaning of your present experience. You may not, for the present, understand why you are going through what you're going through, which is difficult. Some have thought that as soon as they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have a perfect peace and a joy, and that your delight would never depart from you. When you've heard others sing, "Oh, happy day," you're not feeling so happy. You've sung the songs yourself, but right now, if you're honest, you may not be feeling happy. You may not have the hope that you thought you would have when you first began. On the contrary, you may be here today and you may feel very miserable because you have found out that the devil is not dead and the sin nature in you is not dead, and that outside in the world people not look upon you with great love and respect even though you're a Christian. But on the contrary, they oppose you, and some relatives may scoff at you for loving the name Jesus, and you find opposition. Besides that, you do not even enjoy prayers you first did, and the Bible doesn't seem to glitter to you like it did. And the sermons, which seem to be so very sweet, appear to you, they just don't do much for you now. In fact, they can sometimes feel like they're cutting and sharp. Let me encourage you, keep on pressing on to know the Lord. And by, you'll understand it better by and by, if the Lord in His wisdom decides to tell you. In our text, He said He would. When we were little, our mothers would carry us in their arms. But when we get bigger, they set us on our own feet and tell us to walk. And sometimes a little baby, when he's learned to walk, he may feel tired. He remembers when mother carried him, and he'll throw himself on the ground and say, "I want to be carried." And mother says, "No, you walk yourself." I think you understand where I'm going. Many things in the beginning of the Christian life are very pleasant and delightful, but trials do come in time, and it exercises our graces. But may we no longer be children, and may we learn to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, whatever you are going through, follow on to know the Lord. And then, in His wisdom, you will know why. Back to St. John. let me just say that prejudice will keep us from knowing. I discovered, and let me close with three things you can do yourself to know the Lord in a greater way. I want you to turn to St. John. St. John chapter 17, Jesus is boasting how he knows his Father. You see, out of your intimacy in God comes revelation. In St. John, I do know where that one is. And I close with this. It has been more teaching today, perhaps, than... But in St. John, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I lost my place. I'll find it. In St. John 16, earlier, Jesus has said, come learn of me. Someone help me where Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? I don't have the address, but I'll share them with you and you will remember that they are there. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He. You remember those words? When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. I want to say the first thing that will help you to know God is to worship Him. Yes. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know. I want to encourage you to worship God, not just in church, but at home and everywhere you go. Learn to worship Him. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know. Another one, the second thing you can do yourself to know God greater. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And ye, the and is connecting, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to encourage you to continue in His word. It is prerequisite of knowing Him. If you continue in my word, then shall ye know, or then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I want to encourage you to worship God at all times. I want you to continue in His word. Anything you know that's His word, you continue in it. And it is necessary before revelation comes in knowing the Lord. I really didn't know how to end this message, other than, I know you're a believer, but how much do you know Him? Ministry comes out of your knowledge of Him. And your knowledge of Him is a result of your prayer life and of your time spending with Him. I love listening to ministers that immediately I always ask, this fellow that's talking, this woman that's talking, I want to know how well they know God. Because that speaks volumes to me. You will have an effect on others on the depth of your knowledge of God. I want to encourage you to know God. Continue in His Word. Praise Him. And walk with Him. Then shall you know when you follow on to know the Lord. How many want to know Him better? That is our pursuit. That is our longing. I find myself often just spending time in prayer. Oh Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You. Over the years, occasionally He opens the door a little bit more, and I know Him better, and I weep. There's so much to know of Him. We never arrive. Whenever you lose that desire, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. Recheck your desire. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Would you stand, please? One of my favorite illustrations I've used, but bear with me. Two old boys walking along a creek bed. One had six PhDs and the other was just an old country farmer. And as they were walking along this dry creek bed, the PhD boy reached down, picked up a rock, and looked at the farmer boy and said, "Do you know anything about geology?" Farmer said, "Not much." He threw it with a little condescending attitude. Walked on a little bit more and he reached down and he saw a leaf floating on the water and picked it up and said, "Do you know anything about botany?" Farmer boy said, "A little bit." Chuckled, threw it down, walked a little more, and the stars were starting to come out. And he said, "Well, do you know anything about astrology?" Farmer boy said, "Not a lot." Went a little bit more, and he took his hand out, and he looked at his palm, turned it over, and he said, "Do you know anything about anatomy?" "Not much." Just then you could hear a cry coming down the canyon, and it said, "The dam is broke, the dam is broke. Climb to higher ground." And the old farmer boy looked at the PhD and said, "Do you know how to swim?" "Nope." He said, "Then I guess all the rest don't matter, does it?" Out of everything you know, it doesn't mean anything if you don't know God. And that's a challenge for each of us to pursue to know God. Father, I have delivered what I believe You have given to me. Lord, I don't even know how to end this thing, but oh God, may we remove anything that keeps us from knowing You. May there be no prejudice that we have towards anybody, any people. May we learn to love everyone. May the Spirit, Lord, teach us continually. Lord, may You help us to break up the fallow ground that the rain that comes and the latter rain comes, and may we absorb it. May we be receptive. May we worship You. May we continue in Your Word. And then we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Lord, help each of us to pursue You. That is nothing that we can fulfill today. We continue in the process. But I pray You comfort those that are going through things they do not understand and grieve. And I would say to them, when you follow on to know the Lord, then shall you know. Oh God, may we recognize which one's more important. Out of all of our desires, may we desire to know You more than anything else. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you, if you want to pray, please do so. Find a place to pray. For those of you that must go, the Lord bless you. But make it your prayer and your desire to know Him. God bless you.